Stories from Oromo region in Ethiopia, collected in Addis Ababa, Asasa and Gebre Garacha in September 1997 by Elizabeth Laird, under the auspices of the Ministry of Education, the Oromo Educational Bureau and the British Council.
ተረቱ ተናጋሪ አቶ ወርቁ ደበሌ ናቸው። ድሮ ነው ያኔ ዶሮ ከብት አመጣለው ብላ ተነሳች ይባላል። ከብት አመጣለው እና አንተ አቅም የለህም እንዴት አርገህ ታመጣለህ ከብት? ከየት ነው የምታመጣው? ከአዳል ነው የማመጣው። አዳል ሄጄ ነው የማመጣው። ከብት አመጣለሁ። ኧረ አንተ አቅም የለህም። አቅምም ባይኖረኝ ዘዴ አለ፣ ብልሃት አለ፣ በብልሃት እናደርገዋለን አለ። እንግዲህ የፈጠረው ብልሃት ሌሎች እንስሳትን አስከትሎ መሄድ ነበር። እነዚህም እንስሳት አንበሳ፣ እርኩም ታውቃለህ? እርኩም በኋላ እነግርሃለሁ። እርኩም፣ እባብ እና አይጥ፣ እነዚህን ይዞ ሄደ። አሁን አብረው ሲሄዱ በበረት ውስጥ ታሰሩ ላሞችን አገኙ። ላሞቹ እዛ በረት ውስጥ በገመድ ታስረዋል። ለዚህ የመጀመሪያው ዘዴ ምንድን ነው? አይጧን ሂጂና እነዚህን ላሞች የታሰሩበትን ገመድ በጣትሽ ተብላ ይነገራታል። አይጤታ ያንን ትበጣጥሰዋለች። ከዚያ በኋላ አሁን እንዴት አድርገን ከበረቱ እናውጣ ሲባል አንበሳው ደግሞ እንዲያገሳና ከብቶቹ እንዲበረግጉ እንዲወጡ እንዲደረግ ትእዛዝ ተሰጠ። ከዚያ በኋላ የሚመጡ ሰዎች የአንበሳውን ድምፅ ከብቶቻቸው እንዳይበላ ምናምን ብለው የሚመጡትን ሰዎች ደግሞ እባብ መንገድ ላይ ተቀምጣ ነድፋ እንድትጨርስ ተደረገና እባብ ስራዋን ሰራች፣ ነደፈች፣ ሰዎቹ ቀሩ። ከዚያ በኋላ ከብቶቻቸውን ይዘው መሄድ ጀመሩ። አሁን መሽቶባቸው መንገድ ላይ ሲያድሩ ዶሮ አሁን እባብን ትጠራና አይ አሁን እነዚህን ከብቶች ይዘን ስንገባ መቼም ሁላችን አመጣን አይሉንም። ያመጣው አንበሳ ነው የሚባለው፣ ዶሮም አንበሳ ነው የሚባለው እና ስለዚህ አንበሳን እንደሚሆን አድርጊ ትላታለች። እንዴ ዘዴ የምታውቂ አንቺ ነሽ፣ ምንድን ነው ንገሪ። ደግሞ ቀስ ብለሽ እሱ ሲተኛ ያው አፍንጫው ላይ ነድፈሽ ግደየው ትባልና አንበሳ እንደተኛ ትነድፈዋለች፣ አንበሳ ይሞታል። አሁንም በሚቀጥለው ጊዜ ጉዟቸውን ይቀጥላሉ። ወደ እንትናቸው ወደ ቤታቸው ሲመለሱ አሁንም በሚቀጥለው ቀን አሁን ደግሞ እርኩምን ትጠራና እርኩምን በኋላ ነግራለሁ። እርኩምን ትጠራና አይ አሁን አንበሳን የገደለች እባብ እኛን ታኖረናለች ብለሽ ነው ወይ? ስለዚህ ይቺን እባብ እንደሚሆን አድርጊ። ታዲያ ዘዴው ምንድን ነው? እንዴት ነው? አይ ቀላል ነው ዘዴው እና እኔ አሁን እባቧን ውጣታለሁ፣ ከዛ በኋላ ሁሉ ነገር ያበቃል። እርኩም ደግሞ እባብ ሌላም ነገር ይበላል እየያዘ ይባላል። አሁን እባቧን ይውጣታል። አሁንም አብሮ ይሄዳሉ። ሌላ ቀን አሁን አይጥን ትጠራትና አይጥ ምን ይሻለናል? አሁን እባብን የዋጠ አሞራ እኛ እንዴት ያኖረናል ሲባል አሁን እባብ ምንድን ነው ማድረገው? አይጥ ምንድን ነው ማድረገው ስትል እርኩሞ ሲተኛ ክንፉን ቆራጠሽ በሙሉ ብዩና ቆራጠሽ ጣይ ትባላለች። እሷ ቀስ ብላ ክንፉን በሙሉ ብልት ስታደርግ እርኩሙ በሮ መሄድ አልቻለም፣ እዛው ቀረ። አሁን ሁለቱ አብሮ ይሄዳሉ፣ ዶሮና አይጥ ማለት ነው። አሁን ሰፈራቸው ደረሱ፣ በሰላም ሰፈራቸው ደረሱ። ልክ ሰፈራቸው እንደደረሱ አንዱን ከብት አርደው ያርዳሉ። ካረዱ በኋላ ዶሮ አሁን ምን ትላለች? እኔ ጨንጓራውን ለብሳለሁ ተ ደሞ ሞራውን ልበስ ብላ ላይ ተነግራታለች። ከዛ በኋላ ሞራውን ለብሳ ደሞ ተራራ ላይ ቁጭ ብላ ፀሐይ ላይ እኔ ጨንጓራውን ለብሳለሁ ይባባል እና እሺ ብሎ አይጥ ለብሶ እዛ ተራራ ላይ ይቀመጣል። ለኮረብታ መሬት ላይ ማለት ነው ሲቀመጥ አሁን አሞራ ይመጣና እስከነ ሞራው ጨልፎት ይሄዳል። ከዛ በኋላ ዶሮ ያው የከብቶቹ ባለቤት ሆነ ይባላል። እና መልእክቱ ዋናው መልእክት ምንድን ነው? ይህ ሁሉ ከመጀመሪያ ጀምሮ ተራ በተራራ እርስ በራሳቸው ሲጨራረሱ አንዱ ከአንዱ ያለመማር፣ ካለፈው ጊዜ ያለመማር፣ ካለፈው ጊዜ ከሆነ ነገር ትምህርት ያለማግኘት እና እርስ በራስ ደግሞ ተባልተው ማለቃቸውን ይገልጻል ነው የሚሉት። ለዚህ ነው አይደለ?
ድሮ አንድ ሀብታም አለ ይባላል። ያ ሀብታም ሁለት ልጆች ብቻ ናቸው ያሉት። ለሁለቱ ልጆቹ ሲያደላድል ለአንዱ ሶስት በረት ላም ይሰጥና ለአንዱ አውራ ዶሮ ይሰጠዋል። አንድ አውራ ዶሮ ብቻ ይሰጠዋል። ያ ደሃ ያንን አውራ ዶሮ ይዞ ቤቱ ይገባል። ይሄ ሰውዬ በሶስት በረት ከብቶች ይቀራል። አሁን ውሎ አድሮ ይሄ ሰውዬ ይታመማል። ባለ ንብረቱ ሲታመም ጦንቃይ ቤት ይሄዳል። ይሄዱለታል። ጦንቃይ ቤት ሲሄዱለት እንዲህ መልኩ እንደዚህ የሆነ ዶሮ በከብቶቹ አዝረ ግብህ አርደህ ስጋውን እንድትበላ ብሎ ይመክረዋል። ይጠነቁልለታል። አሁን የዚህ አይነት መልክ ዶሮ ከየት ይገኛል ሲባል ያ ያንተ ወንድም ከዚህ ወሰደ እኔ ወንድም ከዚህ ወሰደ ዶሮ መልኩ እንደዚህ ነውና እሱን አምጡልኝ ይላል። ሄደው አምጣ ያን ዶሮ ወንድም ታሟልና ያን ዶሮ አምጣ በሱ ይድናል ተብሏል። እኔ ከከብቶች ሁሉ ይሄን አንድ ዶሮ ሰጥቶኝ እቺንም አንድ ዶሮ ወስዶ ሊያርድብኝ ምን ይደረግ እሱ ከመሞት ይረድ እንጂ ብለው ይነግሩታል። ይሰጣል። ያ ዶሮ ይሄዳል። አዝሮ እንደተባለ ደሙን ያፈስና ስጋውን ይበላል ይባላል። ስጋውን ሲበላ ሁለት ቀን ወይ ሶስት ቀን እንዳደረ ወዳውኑ ሰውነቱ ሁሉ የዛ ዶሮ ላባ ይሆናል። አሁን ዶሮ ላባ ሲሆን ምንድነው እንዲህ ያለ ጉር ተብሎ አሁንም ደሞ እዛ ጦንቃይ ቤት ይሄዳል። ጦንቃይ ቤት ሲሄድ ዋዳ የሚባል አለ። ዋዳ ተንኮል ሰርተሃልና እንዲህ አርገህ አንተ ሶስት በረት ላም ወስደህ አንድ ዶሮ ለወንድሜ ብደርስ እሱንም ወስደህ አረድክበት። የሱ ጡር ነው እንደዚህ ያደረገህና ወንድምህን ካልታረክ ይሄ አይራገፍልህም፣ ወንድምህን ከታረክ ይራገፍልሃል ይሉታል። አሁን ሄዶ ወንድምየውን ጥሩልኝ ብሎ ከለቻ የሚባል አለ። ከለቻ የኦሮሞ ከለቻ አለ። ማንኛውንም ነፍስ እንኳን ያስምራል። እሱን ይዞ ሄዶ ያንን ይለምኑታል። ድሃው እኔ እንዴት አድርጌ ሄዳለሁ? አሁን እጄ ለእሱ የተፋሁ እንደሆነ አክል አገኝ ነው ወይንስ ደግሞ የቀረሁ እንደሆነ ከዚህ ከድህነት የሚያላቅቅ ምን ምክንያት አለ? አልሄድም ይላል። ያ ከለቻ ለከለቻ ብለህ ሂድ ብሎ ይዞት ሄዳሉ። እዛ ይሄድና ሊተፋለ ሲሄድ ጊዜ ሽማግሌዎች ይመካከራል። ምን ይሻላል ለዚህ ለሰውዬ አንድ በረት ላም ይስጠው ብለው ይመካከሩና አንድ ብረት ላም ይስጥህና ትፋለት ይባላል። እሺ ብሎ ይተፋለት። እንደተፋለትና አንድ ብረት ላም እንዳገኘ ያለ አባር ተራገፈለት ይባላል። ይሄ እንግዲህ የሚያሳየው ጡር በሰው ላይ ዳባ መስራት ደባ መስራት እንንም የሚመለከት ራስ ወዳድነትን የሚያሳይ ጉዳይ ነው ይመስለኛል።
የታሪኩ ተናጋሪ አቶ ሞቲ ወየሳ ናቸው።
አንድ ሰው ባልና ሚስት አንድ ላይ ሲኖሩ ሚስቱ ታረግዛለች። ሚስቱ ስታረግዝ መሎጃዋ ይደርሳል። እሱ ቶሎ ቶሎ እሷ ሳትወልድ ሳትገላገል በጋርድና አይ አንተ አምላክ ትንሽ አቆይልኝ እዛ ውስጥ ይሄን ድሎት እንትበላልኝ ሚስቴ ነው እዛ አቆይልኝ እንዳትወልድ ብሎ ጌታን ይለምናል ይባላል። እግዚአብሔር መቼም የለመኑትን የማይነሳ የነገሩትን የማይረሳ አምላክ እዛ አቆየለት። ሲያቆይለት እሱ እንደቆየ ቀረ፣ እሷ ድሎቷን በላች። አሁን እንደገና እነሱ ዞሮ ሲገናኙ አሁንም ታረግዛለች። ያ እዛ ያለ ሆድ ውስጥ ያለ ታረግዛለች። አሁን 9 ወር ሲደርስ ሁለቱ አንድ ቀን ይወለዳሉ። ሁለቱ አንድ ቀን ሲወለዱ አሁን ምን ሆነ? ሽማግሌ እነሱ ሞቱ፣ እናትና አባ ሲሞቱ በውርስ ይጣላል። እኔ ታላቅ ነኝ። አዎ ካደጉ በኋላ እኔ ታላቅ ታላቅ ነኝና ያኛ ሆድ ውስጥ ይቀር። እኔ ታላቅ ነኝና እኔ ብልጫ መውሰድ አለብኝ አለ። አትወስድም፣ ታላቅ አይደለም፣ ታላቅ እኔ ነኝ ተባብለው ሲጣሉ ዳኛ ይሄዳሉ። ዳኛ ሲሄዱ የዳኛ የመፍታት አቃተ። መፍታት ሲያቅተው ይሄ ሆዳ የሚናገሩት ሄዶ ሆዳ ነብ የሚባሉ ኦሮሞ መሰረቱ አባገዳ እዛ ይሄዳሉ ለመፍታት። ይሄን ነገር መፍቴ ለማግኘት እዛ ሲሄዱ እኛ ይሄንን ለመፍታት አንችልም፣ ባህር ውስጥ ዋና ግቡ፣ ዋና ከገባችሁ በኋላ ሁለታችሁም ሰመጥ ብላችሁ በጃችሁ የተገኘው ነገር እዛችሁ እንድትወጡ ብሎ ያዛቸዋል። ሁለቱም ዋና ገብተው ሲዳብሱ አንዱ አሳ ይዞ ይወጣል። ያ ትኒ በኋላ የተረገዘው ያኛ ከለቻ ይዞ ወጣ። አባ ከለቻ ተብሎ የከለቻ አባ ተብሎ አሁን ለአንገፋ የሚሰጠው ያ ወዳ ነቤ ምን ብሎ ይፈታዋል? ከለቻ ያመጣው ታላቅ ነው፣ አሳ ያመጣው ታናሽ ነው፣ ታላቅ አንተ ነህ ብሎ ከለቻን በዚህ አይነት ተገኘ። እሱ መንገፋ የሆነበት ሰው አንገፋ የሆነው ለከለቻ አንገፋ የሆነው በዚህ ምክንያት ነው።
ከለቻን የሚይዘው ታላቅ ነው የተባለው ከዛ ጀምሮ ነው። አሁንም ቢሆን ታሪካዊ አመጣጡም ከለቻ ከዛ ነው እና ሁልጊዜ ለታላላቅ ሰዎች ከለቻም የሚሰጠው በዚህ ምክንያት ነው፣ ከታሪካዊ አመጣጡ ጋር ተያይዞ ነው የሚል ነው።
ባልና ሚስት አብሮ ሲኖሩ ሚስቱ ታረግዛለች። ስታረግዝ ባሏ ይታመማል፣ ኑዛዜ ያደርጋል። እኔ መሞቴ ነውና ይሄ በሆድሽ ያለው ልጅ ወንድ ከሆነ መልእክት አድርሽልኝ ብሎ ይነግራታል ለሚስቱ። እሺ ብላ መልእክቱን ትቀበላለች። ምን ብዬ ልንገርልህ? አንደኛ ሚስትህን ሰርግ ቤት አዳር እንዳትልካት፣ ሁለተኛ ቀላማ ፈረስ ጓደኛዬ ነው ብለህ እንዳታውስ፣ ባዝራ ፈረስ እንዳታውስ፣ ሶስተኛ ቸገረኝ ብለህ እህት ቤት እንዳትሄድ ብለሽ ንገሪልኝ ብሎ ሳበቃ ይነግራትና ይሞታል። ያ ልጅ ይወለዳል። ወንድ ልጅ ሆነ። መልእክቱን አደረሰችለት። ለቁም ነገር በቃ ለአቅመ አዳም ደረሰ። አገባ። ባለትዳር ሆነ። አሁን አባቴ ይህን ለምን አለኝ እስቲ ጉዱን አለው ብሎ ሳበቃ መጀመሪያ ሚስቱን ሰርግ ቤት አዳር ይልካታል። አዳር ይልካትና ተከትሏት ይሄዳል። ተሰውሮ ተከትሏት ሲሄድ ሰርግ ነው፣ አስረሽ ምቺ ነው። እዛ ዝም ብሎ ሳበቃ ውሽምነት ይጠይቃታል ራሱ ሚስቱ። እሺ ትለዋለች። እንዲህ ያለ ቤት ተብሎ እዛው ቤት አጥለው ወደ ቤት ሄደው አብሮ ያድራሉ። አደሩ። እንግዲህ ጉዳያቸውን ፈጸሙ። እንግዲህ መቼም አላገኝሽ ምን ምልክት ትሰጭኛለሽ ብሏታ። ያውል ብላ ቀለበቷን በጥሳ ትሰጠዋለች ከአንገቷ። ያንን ይዞ ይሄዳል። እሱም ወደ ቤቱ ሄደ። እሷም ሰርግ አደረች። እንዳያት አላወቀችም። የቤቷ ገባች። ይሄን ቁጭ አደረገና እርጉዝ ባዝራ ፈረስ ጓደኛው ስለምነው ጊዜ ይሰጠዋል። ተቀምጦ መንገድ ይሄዳል። እሱ ባዝሯን ተቀምጦ ሲሄድ እሱ ቤት ያለውን ሰንጋ ፈረስ ይጭንና እንዴት እንደሚቀመጣት እንዴት እንደሚያረጋት ያለው ብሎ ተከትሎ ይሄዳል። ሲሄድ ያቺ ፈረስ መንገድ ስትደርስ ትጨነግፋለች። ስትጨነግፍ ወንዝ ላይ ደርሶ ደሟን ምናምኗን አጣጥቦ ያን የተጨነገፈውን ጥሎ መልሶ ኮርቻ ጭኖ መንገዱን ቀጠለ። እሱ ዝም አለና አልታየውም። ያቺን የተጨነገፈችውን እግሯን ቆርጦ ይወስድና ወደ ቤቱ ይመለሳል። አሁን ይህንን ካበቃ በኋላ ልብሱን ደህና ልብሱን ጥሎ ጨርቃ ጨርቅ ለብሶ እህቱ ቤት ሱቱ ለብሶ እህቱ ቤት ሄድ። ሲሄድ እንደምን ዋላችሁ እንደምን አደራችሁ እህቴ ሆይ፣ ያ ሁሉ የአባትሽ ንብረት የአባታችን ንብረት አልቆ እንደዚህ ድህነት ደርሶብኝ እንዴ ተሰቃይቻለሁ ይላታል። እዛ በር ላይ ቁጭ ባያል ትለዋለች ቤት እንዳይገባ። እዛ በር ላይ ቁጭ ይላል። አሁን ምን ነው ቤት ቢገባ ብሎ ባሏ ይጠይቃታል። ያ አባቴ ንብረት ጨርሶ አሁን ደሞ ምን ላደርግ ቤት ይገባል? አረብ አክሽን ስሜ ይጠፋል አንቺ ስም አይደለም አንድ ወይፈንና አንድ ጃኖ ልብስ እንስጠው በምንም አይነት ብላ እንቢ ብላ አዎ የዘንጋዳ ጭብጦ ተጨብጥና ይሄን መንገድ ላይ ብላ ብላ ያንን ጨርቁ ስታረግለትና ይዞ ይገባ። አሁን ይገባና ውሎ አድሮ ድግስ ይደግሳል። ድግስ ደግሶ እህቴ ሆይ አባትሽም ሀብት ተመልሷል እኔም ሀብት አገኘው ከነባልሽ እንድትመጭልኝ ብሎ ይጠራታል። ያንንም ጓደኛውንም ሚስቱ መቼም ቤት ነው ያለችው። አሁን ድግስ ደግሶ የአባቱን ጓደኞች በሙሉ ይጠራል። እዛ አባቴ ጌቶች አባቴ እንዲህ ብሎ ተናዘው ነበረ። እኔም ያን ዛዜ ውጤቱን ለማየት ሚስቴንም ሰርግ ላኳት እንዳትልክ ያለኝን ባዝራንም እንዳታውስ ያልክን አዋስኩ አየሁ። እህቴን ቤት ሄጄ አየሁ። ያውላችሁ እህቴ የጨበጠችልን ጭብጦ ያውላችሁ። ያ ደግሞ ሰውየው ደግሞ ባዝራዋን ተውሶ ጭንጋፏን መንገድ ላይ ጥሎ መልሶ ኮርቻ የጫነባት ጭንጋፏ እግር ይሄው። ምስቴው ሽማነ ብላ ከኔ ጋር ስላያደረችበት ይሄው ቀለበቷ ብሎ ሰበቃ ለሰዎቹ አሳየ። የአባት ቃል እንዳይጣስ ብሎ እነዚህን አይነት ትምህርት ሰጠ።
የአባት ቃልም ብቻ ሳይሆን እንግዲህ እሳቸው እንደሚሉት የማንኛውም የአዋቂም ሰው ሆነ የታላቅ ሰው ሀሳብ መጣስ የለበትም። ከልምድ ተነስቶ ከተለያየ አካባቢ ያጠራቀመው ልምድ ስለሚያካፍል ይሄን ተከትሎ መሄድ በህይወት ውስጥ ጥሩ ትምህርት ይሰጣል እንደማለት ነው ብሎ ነው የሚናገሩት። ተረቱን የተናገሩት ወይዘሮ ዘሪቱ ከበደ ናቸው። እና
በድሮ ጊዜ አንድ ሰው ዘመን የሚናገር ዘንድሮ ዘመን እንደዚህ ነው ብሎ የሚናገር ሰው ነበረ። ያ ሰውዬ ይሞታል። እሱ ቢሞት መንግስት ልጁን ናና አባት ዘመን ይናገራልና የዘንድሮ ዘመን ምን እንደሆነ ግለጽልን ብሎ መንግስት ይፈልገዋል። መንግስት ሲፈልገው ተነስተ እኔ ምንም አላውቅም አባቴ ነበር የማውቀው እኔ ምንም ማውቀው ነገር የለኝም ይላል። የአባቱን ጦር ያዝና ና ትናገራለህ ብሎ አስገደዱት ይባል። አሁን ይሄዳል። ሲሄድ ምን ብዬ እናገራለሁ ብሎ እየተጨነቀ እየተጠበበ ሲሄድ ቀበሮ አፋብ ላይ ቁጭ ብላ ያገኛታል። ቀበሮ አፋብ ላይ ሆና ሲያገኛት የት ትሄዳለህ? እንዲህ አለ መንግስት ጠርቶኝ እንደዚህ ምናገሩን አላውቅም ነው። እኔ ብነግርህ የምትናገረውን ብነግርህ ምን ትሰጠኛለህ? 50 ብር ሰጥሻለሁ ይላታል ቀበሮዋ። እሺ ትልና ዘንድሮ ዘመን የቃጠሎ ዘመን ነው የእሳት ዘመን ነው ብለህ ተናገር አለችው። እሺ ብሎ ይገባና በግ መስጠቱ ጋር ሳይሄድ ያንን እሳት ቤቱ ይገባና ገለባ ይሰበስብና ቀበሮ ጉድጓድ ጋር ሄድና ያያይዝባታል እሷን ለማቃጠል። እሷ በሌላ በኩል ሾልካ ትወጣለች፣ ሳትቃጠል ትቀራለች። አሁን የሰው የምጠራ በየሶስቱ አመት ነው ይባል። አሁን እንግዲህ ተመልሶ እንደገና አሁን በሶስት አመት ይጠራ። እሷን አስቀይሟታል። አሁንም ሲሄድ በዛ መንገድ ሲሄድ እሷ እዛ ቁጭ ብላ አገኘችው። የት ትሄዳለህ? ዘንድሮም ጠሩኛ እዛ እሄዳለሁ። ታዲያ እንዴት ታደርጋለህ? እኔ ያንኑ የዋሸሁትን በግ ሰጥቻለሁ እንጂ አንቺ መላምችልኝ ይላታል ቀበሮ። አይ ዘንድሮ እንግዲህ የጦር እንትን የጸብና የጦር ዘመን ነው ብለህ ተናገር ትለዋለች። ሄዶ ደግሞ አሁንም ይሄንን ተናግሮ ይገባል። አሁን በሶስተኛ ደግሞ ይጠራል። እንግዲህ ያንን አዎ ጦር የጦር ዘመን ነው ሲባል ጊዜ ጦር ለቅሞ ጓደኛ ጠርቶ እሷን ሊወጋ ይሄዳል ጉድጓድ። አሁንም ደግሞ ሾልካ ታመጣለች። አሁንም ሄደ ቤቱ ገባ። በሶስተኛ ጊዜ ተጠርቶ ሲሄድ ዛሬም እዛው ነች። አሁንም መጣሁ ያንን የዋሸሁትን እሰጥሻለሁ እንጂ ምን መላ አለኝ ይላል። ዘንድሮ የእርቅ ዘመን ነው ብለህ ንገረው ለመንግስት ብሎ ሄዶ ዘንድሮ የእርቅ ዘመን ነው ብሎ ተናግሮ ይገባል። የእርቅ ዘመን ነው ብሎ ተናግሮ ገባ። ከዛ በኋላ ከ50 በግ ለሷም አንድ በግ ሰጣት። ዘመኑም እርቅ ሆነ። እሱም ከዛ ከግዳጁ ተላቀቀ።
አዎ
ዘመኑም ይርከዋል።
አዎ
መንግስቱም ተቋቋመ።
አዎ በመንግስት በኩልም ሰላም ተፈጠረ፣ በሰውና በእንስሳ መካከልም ሰላም ተፈጠረ እና መጨረሻው ማጠቃለያው ሰላም ተገኘ፣ ሰላም ሰፈነ ነው።
ዱር ለምትኮ ኢየሳ
አማሪፋን ጎዳ
አማርኛ ይሻላል። አንድ ሰውዬ ደሃ ነው፣ ዝም ብሎ ቅማል እየወረረው ጨርቅ እየለበሰ ይሄዳል። ሲሄድ እንዴ አንዱ ደሞ ሀብታም ነው። እንዴ አንተ ሰውዬ ለምን እንደው እንደዚህ ቅማል የምትለብሰው? ለምን እንደው እንደዚህ የምትሄደው? እኔ ለእግዚአብሔር አድራለሁ፣ ለእግዚአብሔር አድራለሁ፣ ለዚህ ነው ቅማል የሚበላኝ ይላል። እሱ እንዲህ ሲል ደሞ ያኛው ደሞ ያለው ሰውዬ ደሞ እሱስ ብሉት፣ እሱ ግን እግዚአብሔርን አያምንም እግዚአብሔርን አያውቅም ብሎ ይናገራል። በዚህ መሐከል ሽማግሎች ለዛ ለደሃ ይሄዱና ጌታን ሊያማልዱ ጌታ ጋር ይሄዳሉ። ሲሄዱ ጊዜ እገሌ ሀብታም ነው፣ እገሌ ለምን እንደዚህ ሆነ ወንድሙ ብሎ ቢጠይቁት፣ እንዴ የዛን ጌታን አምናለሁ የሚለው ሰው የሆዱን ታውቁታላችሁ ወይ እናንተ? ልቡን ታውቁታላችሁ ወይ? ልቡን የልቡን እሱን ሐሳብ ታውቃላችሁ ወይ? አይ መቼም እሱን ለእግዚአብሔር አድራለሁ ብሏልና እኛ ይህንኑ ለመለመን ነው የመጣ ነው እንደዚህ ይሉታል ጌታ። አይ እንግዲህ ካላችሁኝ መቼም ካስጨነቃችሁኝ እና ካጠበባችሁኝ የእናንተን ቃል አልጥስምና ሽማግሌ ቃል አልጥስምና ያ ደሃ ያለው ምንድነው ሀብቱ አንድ ውሻ ነው፣ ያ ደግሞ ሀብታሙ አንድ ልጅ አለው። አሁን ሂዱና የዛን የደሃውን ውሻ ግደሉ። እሱን ከገደላችሁ በኋላ ደግሞ የዛ ሀብታሙንም ደግሞ አንድ ልጅ ያለው እሱንም ግደሉ ብሎ ሽማግሌዎቹን ያዛቸው። ሽማግሌዎች ይሄዱና ያን ውሻ ይገላሉ፣ ያንንም ልጅ ይገላሉ። ተመልሰው ይሄዳሉ። ጌታ ጋር ሲሄዱ ገላችኋል ወይ? አዎ ገለናል። ገደላችሁ? አዎ። አሁን እንግዲህ ባለውሻውን የውሻውን ጉማ እንዲበላ ንገሩት፣ ልጅ የሞተበትም የልጁን ጉማ እንዲበላ ንገሩት ብሎ ሽማግሌዎቹን ይመልሳቸዋል። ሽማግሌዎቹ ሲመለሱ የባለውሻ ያ ደሃውን በል እንግዲህ የውሻውን ጉማ ብላ ይሉታል። አልበላም ንክች አላደርግም። እንግዲህ ጌታ መቼም የልቡን ታውቃላችሁ ወይ ብሎ ተናግረዋል። በልቡ ተንኮል አለበት ማለት ነው። አልበላም ማለት ያ ሀብታሙ ሲሄዱ ወላ አንዱ ልጅ ጉማ ብላ ብሎት፣ እሺ የሰጠኝም ጌታ ነው የወሰደብኝም ጌታ ነው፣ እሺ ጉማ በላለሁ ይላል። ይህን ያደርጉና ለዛ ጉማ አከፋፍሉና ይህን ብሉላ ብሎ መልስ ይሰጣሉ። በዛን ጊዜ ሽማግሌ መብት ለማግኘት የቻለው ሽማግሌና እግዚአብሔር አንድ ናቸው። ሽማግሌ ያለው እግዚአብሔር አየ፣ ሽማግሌ አየ፣ እግዚአብሔር አየ የሚባለው ሰበቡ በዚህ ነው የተነሳው። መንስኤው በዚህ ጊዜ ነው ሽማግሌ ሊከበር የቻለው ነው ያለው።
አዎ ሽማግሌ ሊከበር የቻለው በዛን ጊዜ ነው። እንደገና ደግሞ ያሳደጉት ውሻ የደም ካሳ እንዳይበላ የተደረገው ያኔ ነው። ሰው ደግሞ ጉማ ይሄ ደም ካሳ የሚባለው በዛን ጊዜ ነው የተፈጠረው። ስለዚህ ከእግዚአብሔር በታች ሽማግሌ ነው እና ሰማይ ተቀደደ ብሉ ማን ይሰፋል? ሽማግሌ ይሰፋል ይባላል ነው። እሺ
አስቸጋሪ ፍርድ ይባላል። አስቸጋሪ ፍርድ ጅብና ዝንጀሮ ይጣላሉ ይባል። ሲጣሉ ዝንጀሮ ምን ብሎ ይሰድበዋል? አንተ ጥንብ ጥንብ ሰብሳቢ ጥንብ ነው የምትበላ ብሎ ይሰድበዋል ጅቡ። እሱ ደግሞ የቂጥ የተላጠ መላጣ ብሎ ይሰድበዋል። ይህንን ወደ ዳኛ ይሄዳሉ። ተካሰ ሲሄዱ ጊዜ ሲያዩት ዝንጀሮ መላጣ ነው፣ ሲያዩት እሱ ምርኩስ ይበላል። ፍርድ ቤት በምን አይነት ይፍታው? መፍታት አቃተው። ይህን ነገር ሽማግሌ ነው የሚፈታው። ወደ ሽማግሌ ይሄድ ተብሎ ወደ ሽማግሌ ተላከ ይባላል። አጭር ነው። ወደ ሽማግሌ ሲላኩ ይሄዱና ሽማግሌ እናስታርቃለን፣ እንዴት አድርገን አንዱ ሽማግሌ ከመካከላቸው እያንዳንዳቸውን ጠይቅ፣ አትታረቁም ወይ? እንዲህ ብሎኝ እንዴት ይታረቃለሁ? አንተስ መላጣ ብሎኝ እንዴት ይታረቃለሁ? በል አሁን አንተ ዞር በል ብለው ዝንጀሮውን ያገሉና ጅቡን፣ ያንተ ጥንብ መብላት የታወቀ የምትበላው ምግብህም ኑሮህም በጥንብ ነው የምትኖረው አንተ በዚህ ምን? እሱ መላጣ አልከው፣ እንዴት አድርገህ ካሳ ልታገኝ ነው? አንተ አሁን አንተ ትልቁን አጥርጥሰህ ግንብ አፍርሰህ ገደል የሚያውለው ፈረስ እየጣልክ የምትዘረጥት ጎበዝ ከነካዚ ካናዶ መዛጂ ዝንጀሮ ጋራ ተከራከራለ ትዝብት ውስጥ ነው የምትገባው ብትተው ይሻላል አንተ አንበሳ እንት አንበሳ እንት ካንበሳ ምንም አታንስ በሬም ትገነጥላለ ፈረስም ትጥላለ ቤትም ያፈረስ ግንብ ያፈረስ ለማላለ ይሄ የተሽሎኮለከ ነዶ ይመዛል እንጂ ምን ሞያ አለው ከሱ ጋር የምትከራከረው ባላንተ ዞር በልዱታ ያን ዝንጀሮ ደሞ ይጣራል አንተ ሰው መላጣ ብልህ ይሄ ተብጥሮ ነው አሁን አንተ የምትጣውሃ ሰው ማይደርስበት ቦታ ምን ጭምጣጣ ባለቤቱ ሳይበላ ፍሬ ምርጥ የምትበላ ከዚ ከጥም ቢበላ ጋራ እንዴት አንተ ዳኛ ላይ ትቆማለህ ተው ይሄን ነገር ይለው በዚህ አይነት ያንንም በዚህ አከሸፉ ያንንም ባሽ ከሸፉ ዳኛ መፍታት ያቀተው ሽማግሌ ፈጠው በዚህ ታረቁ ወይ ይባላል
በዚህ አስማማቸው
በዚህ አስማማቸው
የተረቱ ተናጋሪ አቶ መኮንን ሸነው ናቸው። ሁለት ነው ያቀረቡልን። የመጀመሪያው ድሮ አንድ ሽማግሌ ነበሩ። እኚህ ሽማግሌ ልጃቸውን መምከር ፈለጉ። እና ምክራቸውም ልጃቸውን ሲመክሩ ልጄ ወራጅዋ ወይም አላፊ ጎርፍ እንዳይበላ ያረጀ ሽማግሌ ወይም ሊሞት የተቃረበ ሰው እንዳይረግም ብለው መከሩት ይባላል። ከዚህን ጊዜ ጀምሮ ልጁም አባቱ ያሉትን በትክክል በተግባር ላይ በመተርጎም ትልቅ ሰው ወይንም ሽማግሌ ከረገመ ወይንም ቅር ካለው በሞት አፋፍ ላይ ያለ ሰው ስለሆነ እሱን ይቅርታ ለመጠየቅ ወይንም እሳት ሟቹ ሰው ወይም ያረጀው ሰው ይቅር ለማለት ጊዜም ስለሌለው አንድ ጊዜ ከመውተ አንድ ሰው እንደተረገመ ይቀራል። ስለዚህ ከመጀመሪያ ጀምሮ ታናናሾች ታላላቆችን ማክበር እንዳለባቸው ለነሱ ያላቸው አክብሮት ከዲሲፕሊን ጋር የተያያዘ እንደሆነና ሰው በዲሲፕሊን በሰነ ስርዓት እንዲያድግ የሚረዳ ነው። ጎርፉሃ ደሞ ወራጁሃ ደሞ ይዘው እንዲያይ የተባለው ለጥንቃቄ ነው። ጎርፍ አንድ ጊዜ ካለፈ ሰው መሻገር ይችላል። ግን በጎርፉ አፍላ ሰዓት ላይ ሊሻገር ቢል ጎርፉ ይዞት ሊሄድ ይችላል፣ ሊሞት ይችላል። ነገር ግን ጎርፉ ካለፈ በኋላ ማቋረጥ ይቻላል ወንዙ። እና በችኮላ ምንም ነገር መደረግ የለበትም። ስለዚህ ምን ጊዜም ጥንቃቄ ያስፈልጋል። በጥንቃቄ መሄድ ያ ጥንቃቄ ሁሉ ጊዜ በህይወት ውስጥ ይሰራል። ስለዚህ ዲሲፕሊን እና ጥንቃቄ አንድ ላይ ከተካሄደ ማንኛውም ነገር ይሰምራል። በችኮላና መሰረት በሌለው ነገር ላይ የሚሰራ ነገር ደግሞ ሁሉ ጊዜ ችግር ላይ ይወድቃል ሰው። እና ለራስም ህይወት ለሌላውም ጥንቃቄ ያስፈልጋል ለማለት ነው ብለውናል። ሌላኛው ሁለተኛው ተራታቸው ደግሞ አንድ ሰው ነበር ይባላል ድሮ። ያ ሰው ከራሱ ዝርያ ከራሱ ጎሳ ወጥቶ ሌላ ጎሳ ውስጥ ገባ። እዛ መኖር ጀመረ። እዛ መኖር ከጀመረ በኋላ ብዙ ሀብት አገኘ፣ አፈራ፣ ሀብታም ሆነ፣ ትልቅ ሰው ሆነ። ይሄን ሀብት ያገኘው ከራሱ ጎሳ ውጪ ነው። የራሱ ጎሳ ከሱ ራቅ ብለው ነው የሚኖሩት። እና እነዚህ አብሯቸው የሚኖሩት ሰዎች ባዕድ ናቸው፣ የሱ ጎሳ አይደሉም። እዛ ውስጥ በሚኖርበት ጊዜ ይሄ ሰው አርዶ ያበላቸዋል፣ ጋግሮ ያበላቸዋል፣ ጠላ ምኑም ሁሉንም ጠምቆ ያጠጣቸዋል። እንደ ልባቸው ጠጥተው ተዝናንተው ከሱ ጋር ተፋቅረው ይኖሩ ነበር። ነገር ግን ይሄ ሰውዬ በውስጡ ጥርጣሬ ስለነበረ የራሱ ጎሳ ስላልነበሩ እነዚህ ሰዎች አሁን ሳለኝ ከኔ ጋር ይበላሉ፣ ከኔ ጋር ይጠጣሉ፣ ከኔ ጋር ይኖራሉ፣ ችግር ቢገጥመኝስ እነዚህ ሰዎች እንደ ራሴ ጎሳ ሆነው ይንከባከቡኛል፣ ይረዱኛል፣ ይተባበሩኛል ወይ ብሎ ለማጣራት ፈለገ፣ ለማረጋገጥ ፈለገ። سويا هبتام بمانو عند تلك مكوت عردنا لك يعني مكوت عند ريسا تقللو لكا بيهو رسب اي سو موتو بنيالنا اباكا چونونا كبرو لين سو موتو بنيال نا تولو درسو لين نا چگر لايو دي كيالو بلو لحزبو اينا كرال زاكا بيهال لحزب اندي اندي سو يغلالو اي سو غلو نو ወይ ሌላ ነገር አምጥቶ ነው እንጂ እኛ እንዴት እሱን ሰው እንቀብራለን እንደፈለገው ያደርጋለው ሬሳውን ማንንም ወጥቶ ሳይያዩ ሰውየው ማንንም ሳይረዳው ጭጭ ብለው ይቀራሉ። ጥሩ ነው አለና ለካ ይሄ ነው ድሮ አብረን ስንበላ አብረን ስንጠጣ ይሄ ብለው አልመጣም። አሁን ግን እነዚህ ሰዎች እንደዚህ ያረጉኝልና ከዛ ያን እንዳለጥቶ ለዘመዶቹ ይልካል ድራሱልኝ ቶሎ ብላችሁ ድረሱልኝ እኔ ችግር ገጥሞኛልና ኑና ወደ እናንተ ወሰዱኝ አብቴን ንብረቴን አጠቃላችሁ እኔንም ጭምር ይዛችሁኝ ሂዱ ይላቸዋል። እነሱ ደግሞ ሴት ወንድ ልጅ አዋቂ ሳይቀር በሙሉ ተሰባስበው ይመጣሉ። ይመጡና እሺ ደርሰንልሃል መጠናል እና ምንድነው ችግር አሁን ነው ንገረን የታለ ንብረት አሁን ነው ይዘን እንሄዳለን ይላቸዋል ይሉታል። እሺ እስቲ ቁጭ በሉ ከሩቅ መንገድ ነው የመጣችሁና አረፍ በሉና አርፋችሁ ይዛችሁ ትሄዳላችሁ ይላችኋል። የመጡት ህዝቦች አረፉ ቁጭ አሉ። እዚህ በመኖርበት አካባቢ አብረን ኖር ነበር ብዙ አመት አብረን ኖር ችግራችን ችግሬን ይካፈሉልኛል ብዬ እነዚህ ሰዎች ምን ያህል እንደሚተባበሩኝ ለማወቅ ኩታሪጄ እንደሬስ አርጌ ወጣራቸው ማንንም ሰው ወደዚህ ሳይመጣ ቀረ። እና በጣም አዘንኩና ወደ ጎሳዬ ለመመለስ ፈለኩ። እና የኔ ችግር ማንንም ሰው አልሞተም ማንንም ሰው አልገደልኩም ሌላም ብቻዬ ሞተ ሰው የለም ግን የነሱን ሁኔታ ለማየት ያደረኩት ነውና ስለዚህ ያረድኩትም ኩት ብሉልኝ ያዘጋጀሁትን ድግሴን ብሉልኝ ጠጡልኝ ከዛ ይዛችሁ ትሄዳላችሁ አለ። ማታውኑ ቀኑን ጀምሮ ማታውን በሙሉ ሲጠጡ ሲደሰቱ ሲበሉ አድረው በነጋታው ያለው የሌለው ንብረቱ በሙሉ ይዘው ወደ ራሱ ጎሳ ተመለሰ ይባላል። ይሄ ደግሞ እስከነተረቱ ብላብላና ወደ ዘመዶች ይዞረ ዋጥ የሚባለው አይነት ነው። እና ከራስ ጎሳ ውጪ ከራስ ዘመዶች ባዕድ ምን ጊዜም ባዕድ መሆኑን ያለ መዘንጋትን ያሳያል። ዞሮ ዞሮ በዘመድ ውስጥ መሆን ግን ፍቅርንም ከበሬታንም ያስገኛል። እና ያለምንም ጥርጥር ያለምንም ፍራቻ በራስ አገር በራስ ዘመድ ውስጥ መኖር ይቻላል ነው ሚሉት።
These are the stories we collected from Gabra Gurracha Kuyu. First story was told by Otto Warku Debele. Once upon a time, there were 10 horses who were tired of working for men. Then, one day as they were walking along, they saw a huge grassy plain at the bottom of a steep cliff. They realized that they could get down, but they couldn't get up. So they began discussing. "Let's go down there," they said. "We can be away from the human domination, and we can live happily because there is a lot to eat." So they all agreed, and they ran down the steep cliff into the valley. Slowly they began eating the grass and living there. But they couldn't come out. They spent a lot of time over there, and gradually the grass began to finish. Then one day some hyenas were going by, and the hyenas looked down and they saw the trapped horses. "Let's go down there," the hyenas said, "and we can eat all those lovely horses." "But how will we come out?" one of them asked. "It's okay, as long as we can eat them, we'll worry about that some other time," one of the hyenas said. So they all agreed and went down the steep cliff into the plain. There were lots of horses, and the hyenas ate them indiscriminately. They killed them and just took a few bites of one, then went on to killing another. After some time, however, they became hungry, so they went back to the dead corpse and began chewing each and every bit. Finally, everything was finished. There were no more horses, and the hyenas couldn't get out. They didn't know what to do. So slowly they began eating each other. They killed one and ate him, and they killed another and ate him, until at last there was only one remaining. And he had nothing to eat, so he died of starvation. The theme of this story is that you should plan in advance and not be overcome by temporary greed or selfishness. The second story was also told by Atowarku Debele. Once upon a time, there was a rooster, and he said that he would go to the Adal region and raid some cattle. Everybody laughed at him and said, "A rooster is weak, you can't bring back cattle." But he smiled and said, "I might be weak, but I'm intelligent." Therefore, the rooster took some animals with him. He took the lion, he took a big bird which we couldn't identify, Irkum, which was called Irkum. He took a snake and he took a mouse. And he went all the way down the lowlands to the Adal region. There they went up to a place where many cows were tied. "Mouse, this is your task," said the rooster. "Go and chew up all the rope that's tying the cows so we can drive them away." So the mouse went and nibbled and freed all the cows. Then it was the lion's turn. He began roaring and the cows stampeded and ran away from where they were tied. The people got up and began chasing their cows, but the smart rooster had already set a trap for them. He'd made the snake lie down on the road, and the snake bit all the rescuers. So they took all the cattle and began returning to their hometown. As they were walking back, the rooster went up to the snake and said, "Listen, when we go back, none of us will get the praise. Everybody will praise the lion, because he is so strong. People will think that he was solely responsible for raiding the cattle. "So what shall I do?" asked the snake. "Well, if you stung him on the nose and killed him, then we would be all right without him. After all, he served his purpose," the rooster said. So the snake went and killed the lion. Then, after some time, the rooster went to the Irkum and said, "Listen, if the snake killed the big lion, then tomorrow he'll kill you and me and all of us as well. Therefore, why don't you swallow the snake?" So the Irkum went and swallowed the snake. Then the rooster went to the mouse and said, "Listen, if the eagle could kill the powerful snake, then definitely he will kill us." "So what shall we do?" asked the frightened mouse. "Well, when the Irkum is sleeping, if you chew up his wings, then we'll be all right because he can't fly after us," the rooster advised. So the mouse went and chewed up the rooster's wings when he was asleep. So the mouse and the rooster took all the cattle and started returning and continued their journey. After some time, the rooster said, "Why don't we slaughter one of the cows?" And they slaughtered one of the cows. Then the rooster said, "Well, to show how rich we are and how many cattle we have, I will wear the tripe of the cow, so I can walk around with a tripe coat to show that I have many cows. And you should also take some of the fat and put it on your shoulders." So the mouse picked up some of the fat and put it on its shoulders. "Now," said the rooster, "why don't you go up and sit on a mountain so everybody can see you?" So the mouse went up onto a mountain. At that moment, an eagle saw a mouse with meat on his shoulders. So the eagle swooped down and took away the mouse. And the hen went back to his village, the proud owner of many cattle. The theme of this story is that we should learn from the mistakes of others, because once one is attacked, gradually all will be attacked. The third story is also by Warqu Dabale. Once upon a time, there was a rich man and he had two sons. When he died, in his will, he said that 3 stables of cows, that's all his cows, should go to the first brother, and only 1 rooster should go to the second son. So as it was the man's will, the first son was given 3 stables of cows, and the second son was only given 1 rooster. However, after some time, the rich brother became sick. So he went to a medicine man and asked him what he should do to become better. And the medicine man said, you should slaughter a rooster of a special color. So the brother thought, and he couldn't think of a rooster of that color. Then he remembered that his second brother had a rooster. So he sent some people to fetch the rooster from his brother. The brother said, all I have is this rooster. But if it comes to the fact that my brother is going to be cured, then I would rather lose the rooster and get my brother back healthy. So he generously gave the rooster, and the people took it and slaughtered it, spilt its blood, and fed it to the elder, to the first brother. And the brother recovered and he went back to his house. But after some time, a most particular thing happened. His body began growing feathers. He was terrified, and he went back to the medicine man and the elders. They saw this, and they said, this is a result of a curse, of being unfair to one. You have been unfair to your brother. You have taken all the cows, and even the 1 rooster that your father had left to him. Therefore, to become better, your brother must forgive you. So we will take this kalacha and give it to your brother, and as a sign of forgiveness, if he spits on it, you'll be cured. Now there's a problem with this word kalacha. Ato Warqu Dabale, the man who told us the story, said it's equivalent to a cross, and it's a Christian, it's almost a Christian cross. But what's his name? Marga said that in fact it is pre-Christian and it belongs to the Oromo people. Anyway, they took the kalacha to the brother and they gave it to him. And they said, spit on it and forgive your brother. And the brother spat on the kalacha. And as a reward for him, the elders decided to give him 1 stable of cows. The moral of this story is that you ought to be generous to others when you have a lot. The fourth story was told to us by Moti Wiyasa. Once upon a time, there were a husband and a wife, and the wife became pregnant. So the husband began slaughtering many sheep and feeding it to her so she becomes strong. But very soon, 9 months had almost gone by. So the husband prayed to God and said, dear God, please keep the baby in my wife's stomach a bit longer so she can eat more and become stronger. So, as God answers all prayers, the child remained in the mother's stomach for a long time. And in the meantime, the husband continued living with his wife, and she became pregnant for the second time while the first baby was still in her womb. So, after a period of 9 months, she gave birth to 2 boys. In fact, they were twins, but one was much older than the other because he remained in his mother's womb for such a long time. Anyway, the twins were born and they grew up. Then, finally, after some time, the man and his wife died. And the sons had to decide who should take the inheritance. The older one said, I am older and I should take it. But the younger one said, no, I'm older, we were born at the same time, so you're no older than I am. They went to the elders, and the elders found this a very difficult case. So they took them to a large lake, and they said, we cannot decide this. Therefore, what we've got to do is let God decide it. We've talked to Abba Gada, and the solution is that you've got to dive to the bottom of the lake and come up with whatever you find at the bottom. The brothers agreed, and they both jumped in. After some time, the younger one came out with a fish in his hand, but the second one came out with a kallacha in his hand. And this is how the Oromo people explain the source of the kallacha. And they say it is because of this that the elders have always been given the kallacha rather than the younger ones. The fifth story was also told to us by Moti Wiyasa. Once upon a time, there was a husband and his wife. And the wife became pregnant, but the husband was about to die. So he told his wife, listen, if the child you give birth to is a boy and I am dead, please give him these three pieces of advice. The first one is never send your wife to a place, to a house where there is a wedding to spend the night. The second one is tell him never to give a pregnant mare to a friend to ride. And the third one is tell him never to go to a sister's house in need. So the man died, and his wife indeed gave birth to a son. And when the boy grew up, his mother told him his father's words of advice. Now the son was very curious, and he wanted to see why his father had left him these words of advice. So one day when there was a wedding in another house, he told his wife that she could go and spend the night there. Then he disguised himself and he went to the wedding place, and he saw his wife drinking and dancing, and he too began dancing with her, though she didn't recognize him. And then he asked her to have sex with him, and she agreed. And he took her, and he spent the night with her. In the morning, she still didn't recognize him, and he asked her to give her a sign that he'd spend the night with her. And she tore off her necklace from her neck and gave it to the stranger who she'd spend the night with, who she didn't know was her husband. Then, after some time, a friend of his came and asked to borrow a horse. So he gave his friend a pregnant mare. Then he himself mounted on his stallion, and he followed from a distance. After some time, his friend was riding the mare so hard that she aborted. The friend hardly gave her a second glance. He threw away the aborted foal, and he climbed on the mare and started riding her away as fast as he could. The man got down and cut off a small piece of the aborted foal as evidence and took it with him. Then, after some time, he put on old clothes and went to his sister's house. And he said, sister, I've lost all our father's wealth. I have become poor. Sit outside the house, she said, like a beggar. And he sat outside. And his sister's husband said, he is your brother. Let him in. We can give him some clothes, and maybe we can give him a cow. No, he's no good if he's wasted all our money, the sister said. And she gave him a pitiful handful of grain, which would normally be given to a beggar. So the man went home, and he gave a big feast in his house. And he sent a message to his sister saying, come, I have regained our father's wealth, I have become rich. And he sent a message to his friend saying, come, I want you to eat at my feast. and he sent, and his wife was already in the house. He called all the elders and he said, "I want to tell you something. My father left me three statements of wisdom. The first one was never to send my wife to spend the night at a wedding house. The second one was never to give my friend a pregnant mare of mine to ride. And the third one was never to go with my sister with problems. And I have tested my father's wisdom, and it is true. Here is the necklace of my wife. I disguised myself as a stranger, and at the wedding house she spent the night with me, as if I was a stranger, should have been disloyal. Here is the leg of the foal which was aborted from the mare my friend rode, and here is the handful of grain that my sister gave me. Therefore, we should always accept the advice of our fathers and elders." The sixth story was told to us by a woman storyteller, Zaritu Kabbada. In fact, I've already used this story, and I think it's an Amara one, because it talks about a king, and the Oromos talk about the Gada system. But nevertheless, here it goes. Once upon a time, there was a king who used to have a wise old man who used to see in the future. When the wise man died, the king sent for his son to tell him about the future. The son didn't know anything, and he was very sad, and as he was going to the king's castle, he met a fox. And the fox said, "Listen, I can tell you about the future if you give me a lot of 50 sheep." And the son agreed, and the fox told him that tell the king that the next few years are going to be years of fire and burning. So the boy went to the king and told him this, but in fact he didn't bring back any sheep for the fox. Instead, he brought back fire and tried to burn him. After 3 years, the king again sent for the boy, and the boy didn't know what to do until he met the fox. And the fox said, "This time if you bring me back 50 sheep, I will tell you about the future." And the boy promised that he would. And the fox told him the next 3 years would be a time of war. And the boy went back to the king, and he said that the time would be a time of war. And this time again, he didn't bring the fox any sheep, but instead he brought a spear and tried to kill the fox. After 3 years, again the fox went to see the king. And this time the king sent for the boy, and the boy met the fox. And the fox told him that it would be a time of peace. So the boy went, and he brought back 50 sheep, and it was a time of peace. So the men and the animals, the boy and the fox, also had peace amongst them. The seventh story was also told by the woman storyteller, Zaritu Kabbada. She said, "Once upon a time, there was a poor man and a rich man. The poor man lived and he had many lice and he didn't have anything. But the rich man worked very hard. He worked Saturdays and Sundays, and he became very rich. When people asked the poor man why he was poor and the other man was rich, the poor man said, "It's because I believe in God, I trust in God, and I spend all my time praying and becoming closer to God." Whereas the rich man spends all his time seeking material wealth. So after some time, some people wanted a favor from God, so they decided to go to the poor man and ask him to pray to God, since they thought he was holy and he would have greater admission in the kingdom of God. As they were going along, they met an old man, and the old man asked them where they were going, and they said they were going to the poor man to pray for them. And the old man said, "But are you sure that the poor man is really more religious and closer to God than the rich man? What is your proof? You can't see into his heart. Let me tell you what you can do. The poor man has one dog, and the rich man has one son. Go and kill them both." So they went and they killed the sole son and the only dog. Then the old man called them, and he said, "Now go to the rich man and the poor man and tell them both that you will give them compensation, that is what they call guma, for their wrongs. And if they accepted this compensation, they wouldn't seek revenge on whoever had killed their dog and their son. And the rich man said he would accept the compensation, and he didn't want any revenge on the elders. He said God had given him his son, and God had taken him away. However, the poor man said he didn't want any compensation, but instead he wanted revenge on the people who had killed his dog. Therefore, this shows us that the poor man actually was bloodthirsty, and he had lots of evil thoughts in his heart. After this day, the Oromo elders have decided that if one's dog dies, there should be no compensation. And the moral of the story also shows that although one is rich, he can be holy, and being poor does not mean being good. It also shows that wise men are very intelligent and can look below appearances into the hearts of men. The eighth story was told to us by Welku Debela, and it has a title. It's called The Difficult Judgment. Once upon a time, the hyena and the baboon had a quarrel. And the baboon insulted the hyena, saying, "You dirty, filth-eating scavenger." Sorry. And the hyena insulted the baboon, saying, "You naked-assed, ugly creature." So they both went to the courts asking for justice. The judges listened to both sides, and they found it very difficult. They said, "What can we do? In fact, the hyena is a scavenger, and he does eat a lot of dirt, and the baboon does have a bare bottom." Therefore, because the judges at the court couldn't do anything, they sent them on to the elders. The elders listened to both their stories and said, "Well, why don't you forgive and make up?" But both of them said, "No, I will not forgive having been insulted in this manner." Therefore, the elders thought about a while, then they sent the baboon out, and they called in the hyena. And they said to the hyena, "Your case is a very weak one. To begin with, it is true that you eat dirt and that you are a scavenger. But leaving that aside, you yourself are a magnificent animal. You are very strong. You break through people's fences. You can drop huge horses. And you are no less than a lion with your might and everything. Therefore, how do you disgrace yourself by coming to us, having a dispute with this stupid animal who simply picks up grains and grass from the fields? This is a disgrace, a strong animal like you having an argument with this baboon. Therefore, you should ignore him." Then they call in the baboon, and they said, "You are a great animal. You drink very clean water from springs which no man can reach, as you can scale the cliffs. And you eat from the harvest before even the farmers have eaten. You are a noble animal, but it is true that you have a bare bottom. So your case isn't very good. But how do you disgrace yourself by having an argument with this wretch? You are a great animal." Therefore, both animals agreed to drop their case. So the elders came to a decision and made the animals make up, which the court couldn't do. Story number 9 is not recorded on the cassette, but it was told to us by Atowarku Debela. Once upon a time, a frog went to a fortune teller and said, "Please, will you tell me my fortune?" And the fortune teller looked around and he said, "I can see fire. There is fire that threatens you. There is bad fire." And the frog was very angry because he lived in a pond, and he thought the fortune teller was simply bluffing. Therefore, the frog went back to his pond, very angry at the fortune teller. After some time, a hut in one of the villages caught on fire, and all the villagers wanted to put out the fire, so they took buckets and started taking water from the pond to the burning hut. One of them scooped up the frog in his bucket of water and poured him on the hut, and the frog burnt and died. This short story was, I think, intending to show that one's fortune is very unpredictable and you shouldn't ignore what fortune tellers tell you. The stories 10 and 11 were told to us by Makonnen Shana, but in fact they're not really stories, but rather the explanations of sayings. In Amharic there is the saying, for example, that you shouldn't let temporary rain fall on you, or you shouldn't walk in temporary rain, and you shouldn't offend a young child. And the rationale behind this is that the rain will pass and you can walk in the sun, and when the child grows up he could be a real enemy. Similarly, in Oromiya there is the saying that you should not cross a full river and you should not make an old man curse you. And he was explaining that if a river is full it will take you away and kill you. Therefore you should have patience and wait until the river goes down. And similarly, if an old man curses you, he might soon die before having the chance to forgive you. Therefore, you'll have to bear the curse all your life. Therefore, a good person does not offend his elders, and he does not cross a full river. And the explanation says that this helps children to grow up with a good upbringing, teaching them precaution of not offending others or crossing a river and not being hasty. The next story also tends to be more of an explanation of a saying, which goes something like, you should fill your mouth in front of strangers but only swallow the food in front of relatives, indicating that your relatives will always stick up for you. And the story goes like this. Once upon a time, a man intermarried with a woman from another tribe, and he lived for a long time amongst them, and he became very rich. Very often he gave feasts, and he fed them, and he gave them good drink and all sorts of things. Now, having lived with them for a long time, one day he became suspicious. And he said to himself, these people are not from my tribe. I wonder if they will stick up for me if I'm in problems. So he went and he slaughtered a big ox of his, and he wrapped it up in the cowhide. Then he went around the village saying, please, I have a body in my hut. Please come and help me bury it and attend the funeral. The people gossiped among themselves, and they said, how can he have a dead body in his hut? Nobody has entered. You think he's killed somebody. He might be a murderer. Therefore, nobody came to help him bury the corpse. So then he sent word to his own tribe in another village, asking them to come and help him. Immediately everybody, the young, the old, the strong, the disabled, they all came to help them. And he said, in fact, I just wanted to see who are my real friends. And he gave them a big feast. This story, I think, is simply to exemplify the saying that it's best to be with your relatives. Okay, I think that's the end of all our Oromo stories. Good luck with the transcribing, Liz.